supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salaam Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome, status of daughters in Islam is the topic we're gonna discuss today. Today, Tuesday, is the 4th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, we look at chapter Shura, we listen to verse 49.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور.
To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He gives to whom He wills female children, and He gives to whom He wills males.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Verse 49 of chapter Shura is saying that the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth solely belongs to Allah, since He is the possessor of the heavens and the earth and creation of the world and all creatures, has been made possible through His omnipotent and omniscient, and everything is dependent upon His will. He bestows male and female offspring upon whomever He wills as per His discretion and wisdom. He may bestow male and female offspring in pairs, or many male and female offspring. It is dependent upon His wisdom and discretion that He makes some females barren and sterile. He is the omnipotent, the omniscient. These blessed verses make a reference to divine perfect might and knowledge. Nothing may impede His will. This is today's special and honoring the daughters in Islam. It is enough of an honor for girls that the prophets, may Allah exalt their mention, had daughters, and that most of the children of our beloved prophet were daughters, namely Zainab, Ruqayyah, Umm Kulthum, and Fatima. The fruit of raising daughters righteously is reward in this life before reward in the hereafter. This is proved by the fact that Allah rewarded the righteous man who raised his two girls virtuously, the result being him facilitating the marriage of one of them to the honorable Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. The Prophet would express his love for his daughters by, for example, making statements like, "My daughter Fatima is a part of me, so whoever angers her, angers me."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. We find that the females, both ladies and girls and daughters and our sisters play a very significant role in our communities. Our sons or boys in communities are usually more carefree and more oblivious than our daughters or girls in our community. Moreover, in our communities, we find that daughters and girls in general, they prove to be more sensitive, more cooperative, and at the same time, more attentive, both to their parents and to the other people. There's a piece of hadith that the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salam related on account of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kinder to daughters compared with sons. And there's another piece of prophetic hadith in that whoever makes his or her daughter happy, it's as if they have freed one of the descendants of Ismail, from bondage or from being slaves. There's a piece of prophetic hadith in that he said, whoever has three sisters or three goddaughters and is kind to all of them, they would be together, they would be resurrected together with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be associated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the paradise. There's also a prophetic hadith in that whoever buys something, purchases a present or a gift, I mean, when he's outdoors, and upon returning home, the man gives this gift, however small it might seem, to his daughters, as if he has done a great rewardable and praiseworthy job in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that if he had to distribute some gifts among, his sons and daughters, he would prefer his daughters over his sons. It doesn't mean that, there's a kind of distinction or any kind of, for example, preferring one to the other. No, while when it comes to giving the gift to any of them, the daughters must take precedence because they are more emotive, they are more sensitive, and perhaps they expect much more attention from their parents.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now we'll look at important phrases parents can use to empower their daughter. One of them is, you are absolutely beautiful inside and out. Take a break from, you look so pretty in that dress. The world will give our girls plenty of messages that their beauty is all about what's on the outside. So let's be sure to remind them often how true beauty comes from within. Confidence, kindness, optimism, compassion, these traits radiate beauty from the heart in the most powerful ways. Show your girls female role models such as a Lady Fatima, peace be upon him, and Lady Fatima Masuma alayha salam, and explain how each of these women represents deep beauty.
Assalamu alayk, assalamu alayk, assalamu alayk, ya bint Rasulillah. السلام عليك يا بنت فاطمة وخديجة السلام عليك يا بنت أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا بنت الحسن والحسين
Why fathers are so important to their daughters? Father-daughter bonds are corrected with academic abilities. Dear friend, recent studies have shown that a strong father-daughter bond not only shapes a daughter's self-esteem, body image, relationship, and behavioral traits, but it even impacts their ability to perform well academically. Although research is still being conducted to figure out why this happens, women who had healthy relationships with their fathers, for most of, if not all of, their lives performed better in school and on tests than those who had no relationship with their fathers, or if their relationship with their father was unhealthy.
In that time, there was a man called As ibn Wa'il. When he referred to the Prophet, he would refer to him as the Abtar. Abtar means a person who is cut off. Abtar means a person who does not have an offspring, descendants, who is without posterity. They would call him Abtar. So when the Prophet would pass by and he was sitting among the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Quraysh, he would refer to the Prophet and point out to him, this is the Abtar coming, the one who is without posterity. Why? Because the Prophet, every son that he would be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that boy, that son would not live long enough. They would die after a short time. The Prophet didn't have any sons. He only had daughters, or one daughter, Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descended this chapter, Surah Al-Kawthar, in regard to what As ibn Wa'il was accusing the Prophet in saying he has no descendants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ, meaning that we have given you abundance. Kawthar means abundance. Then Allah says that your enemy, referring to As ibn Wa'il, is the one that is without posterity. So if he was saying that you don't have an offspring, no. We have given you abundance. What does abundance mean? What does it refer to? Abundance and Kawthar in this verse refers to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha and her children and her descendants and her offspring. It is telling the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his messenger that don't worry. If you don't have a son, that doesn't mean you don't have posterity. You don't have an offspring. Your daughter Fatima, she will have many children. She will have a huge offspring. And that is the abundance that I will give you.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and here's some food for thought for you today from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, the eighth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The best earner of livelihood among people is that who improves others' livelihoods out of his livelihood.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the beautiful saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, commonly known as the Hadith of Junudul Aql wa Jahl, or the Hadith that, you know, describes, rather the Imam doesn't describe, the Imam merely in a general form mentions the units or the battalions that they're under the army of the intellect or aql and that of jahl. So here we see that the Imam again mentions two characteristics, one for the aql, one for the jahl. And the one for the aql the Imam mentions in this particular tradition is known as al-ma'rifah. and that which the Imam mentions in terms of jahal, or rather the unit that is within jahal, is al-inkar. So what is ma'rifah? Ma'rifah has many different meanings in the Islamic sciences, depending which of the Islamic sciences that you intend to go with. But the general meaning of ma'rifah is to know something, is to recognize something, is the ability to see that this is the truth. Another place of ma'rifah could be a deep understanding of something. But because the word that has been given as the antonym of this is al-inkar, which means to deny something. Now this denial is not just a basic denial. It is a denial when you do inkar of something, when you deny something in this way, it is that a person recognizes or he understands that that which is in front of him is correct. This is one of the meanings of inkar. So this tradition is that a person not only recognizes the truth in front of him, but he also accepts it and decides to follow it. Obviously, this is what an intellectual person will do, is that he is aware of the truth in front of him. He knows that that which is in front of him, and he recognizes it as being haq, as being truth, and therefore takes it, follows it, protects it, and so on and so forth. Whereas on the other side, if a person does inkar, he denies it. It is not denied because he has any proof. He denies it just because of many of the other characteristics that he may have. One being pride, one being laziness. Another one, for example, being, for example, not having the ability to understand or not making the efforts to understand. Or he may have made the efforts and just because he just doesn't want to. You know, that concept of, you know, boastfulness and arrogance within him does not allow him to do so. So we see that this is what is possibly or can possibly be meant by this saying of the Imam, where he mentions the word al-ma'rifah and al-inkar as antonyms of one another in this particular way. One is knowing and following, the other one is not having the ability to deny, but denying anyway. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in ma'rifah and to decrease us and actually not have any inkar within us. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today we all are going to listen to the recitation of an Indonesian reciter, Sheikh Muammar Zainul Abidin. He's going to recite Surah Al-Fatiha.
وإياك نستعين
Dear audience, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and you just listened to the recitation of the Indonesian reciter Sheikh Muammar Zainul Abidin reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like you said at the beginning of, actually before we listened to this recitation, when you introduced this reciter, you said that he's from Indonesia. He's an Indonesian reciter. He has a very good voice.
Yes.
And in general, reciters from Indonesia, they have a really high-pitched voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very high-pitched voice compared to reciters from other places, such as Iran or Egypt.
They can have Jawabul Jawab.
They have Jawabul Jawab. They have very high-pitched Jawabul Jawab. And this reciter, he has a very good tajweed, Muammar Zainul Abidin. It's not just, you know, his voice.
And has a long breath.
And his long breath. To say nothing of his long breath. He also has good tajweed. And he recited the second verse of this surah until the end of the verse, verse 2 of Surah Fatiha until verse 7 with one breath.
Mm-hmm.
At least it seemed to be one breath. Surah Al-Fatiha is the only surah where the Bismillah is written as verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other surahs, even though we consider the Bismillah as part of the surah, and we say that if you recite the surah without Bismillah, you have missed one of the mm-hmm. verses of this surah. Mm-hmm. But in the Quran, in the Qurans that we have, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. And everyone agrees that this is the first verse, and it should be written as the first verse.
But other surahs, actually.
Even though the Bismillah is part of the surah, it's not written as the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
That's one point. And the importance of Surah Al-Hamd, or Surah Al-Fatiha, is more famous. Surah Al-Fatiha is the more famous name of this surah, is that we have to recite the surah in our salah, mm-hmm. in our prayer. So it's very important that we recite this surah with good tajweed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in prayer, we have been told that we have to recite Hamd, or Surah Fatiha, and the surah, which is a surah other than Surah Fatiha, with good tajweed, with an Arabic accent.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the rules of tajweed in this surah.
Good idea.
Alhamdu ha. This is very important. Probably the most important thing as far as tajweed is concerned is makharijul huruf.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to pronounce the letters from their correct places of articulation. Yes,
that's it.
So even if you, for example, don't know about the rule of idgham or ilhar or ikhfa of nun sakina or mim sakina, you have to at least know the makharij al-huruf,
mm-hmm.
because it's very basic. Alhamd, ha is pronounced from deep in the throat, from the pharynx. The pharynx wall is narrowed down,
mm-hmm.
and we have this constriction in the throat. So we say ha,
ha,
alhamdu. And this characteristic of ha is known as buha. But it's important to realize that buha of ha should not be exaggerated to such an extent that it sounds like
a kha
gets really close to kha. For example, alhamdu.
That is not too deep, actually.
It should not be too deep.
Yeah.
And of course, not too little. Alhamdu. If you say alhamdu, that's not enough duha. Lillahi rabbil alameen. Ayn is also a very important letter that we have to pronounce from the correct place of articulation.
And could you talk about it?
The place of articulation in ha and ayn is exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
But they're different. What's the difference? The difference is that ha is voiceless while ayn is voiced.
Mm-hmm. We have vibration
of the vocal cords. If you touch your throat and you pronounce ah, you feel the vibration of the vocal cords. But for ha, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vibration. That's the difference. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, another tajweed point, which is actually at a next level, you know, it's a level higher than makharij al-huruf, is tafkhim of the letter ra.
Mm-hmm.
Ra should be pronounced with thickness. Oh, okay, with velarization.
With the full mouth, right?
The full mouth, with the back of the tongue raised. Ra, ra, ra,
ra.
We don't say, for example, ra, rabbil alameen, ar-Rahmanir Rahim, ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Yeah, this is in case when we have actually a fatha.
Exactly, that's the point. You have to actually know when to pronounce ra with tafkhim. Another one is in ihdina siratal mustaqim, the ra in sirata, and the ta has to be pronounced with tafkhim and also shadda and jahr.
By jahr, it's a voice. Woman, it is voiced.
Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Mustaqim. The qaf has a very low level of tafkhim. We shouldn't say mustaqim. That's incorrect. And of course, then we have walawalin, which is maddul lazim, which you have to lengthen to 6 vowel counts.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
كتاب الله كتاب الله.
There is a beautiful hadith from, I think it's from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which says, Hurmatul Quran ala Allah ka hurmatil walid ala al-walad. The respect that the Quran has with Allah means how much Allah respects the Quran. If you want to understand in human, you know, sense, okay? If you want to compare it, of course, Quran is not a human being and Allah is not a human being. But if you human beings want to understand, you try to compare and liken everything to your own relations. So if you want to understand how much Allah respects the Quran, you can liken this to the respect that a person has for his parent, like father. A good mu'min, not, you know, impolite children, a very polite, well-educated, nice person, how much he respects his father or mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such respect for the Quran. Again, Allah is not human being, Quran is not human being, but just for you to understand, which means maximum respect that you should, even, you know, you should not go or walk in front of your father. Yeah? When you are, you know, walking, you should not go in front of your father or mother. Or, for example, if there is food, you should not, you know, take the food before your father starts. Okay? Everything, you have to be very respectful. So this is how much Allah respects the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali. And that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss the problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. Now, to help us with our questions, we have with us our dear and beloved brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure being here with you.
Thanks. So, brother Abdullah, we're going to start this new series about how to raise our children in a positive way, basically. I want them to have positive mentality, and I want to take like a 360-degree look at this. So, both religiously and other aspects, I want to intermix these together as well. So let's begin with an introduction by you, and then we'll kick off the program.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Well, no doubt that most parents or most educators would like to have their kids or their students to have a positive upbringing and become better people in society. And these people, parents and teachers and educators, they do their utmost. They will put their utmost efforts in trying to make sure that these people or these kids or these students become, you know, a better version than themselves. Because we always try to educate our kids in a way where they don't make our mistakes. So we always try to make a better version of ourselves, but through our kids. And it's as we have... I'm not sure whether it's a hadith or it's a saying, but saying more like a saying rather than a hadith. It says, when you teach kids from a young age, it's like writing and engraving on stones, right? As we say in Arabic, al-ta'allum fasar kan naqsh al-hajar. Like when you learn from your young age, it's like you're engraving on a stone.
It's permanent.
Permanent.
It's also very difficult.
No. It's extremely easy. Uh-huh. So when you teach them at this age, it's the easiest, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're still young, and especially like if you look at psychologists, they say 90% of what the children or people learn is in the first 8 years of their life. 90% of what they learn that would be, you know, that would take effect on their life is, in fact, in the first 8 years of their life. So imagine it like this: if you want to plant a tree and you just buy a small tree, it's just growing, right? Now you can buy it as a fresh baby from the plant store, or you can plant it yourself. And some trees, for example, from the beginning, you need to make sure it stays straight. And if you look at farmers and farms, you see sometimes they put support to that tree from a young age to make sure that the tree goes straight. If you don't, it bends, right? And as it grows bigger and bigger, it becomes always bent. And then once it's bent and it's old and big, you cannot fix it. You cannot rectify it. If you try to fix it, what happens is most of the time, you end up breaking it.
That's right? a very
It's exactly the same thing with children.
Mm.
When you make them grow in a positive way, teach them the right thing, they grow straight when they're old. If you leave them in the first 8 years or the first at least 14 years, and then once they're in their teens, you're trying to educate them, bring them back to the right path, the chances of you doing it is very slim.
It's going to be very slim.
You could break them. Like I said, you could either make them or break them. So it not always work. Therefore, as educators, as parents, we need to start from the beginning. From a young age, to embed in them the positive programming. Like, we just need to program them correctly.
All right, let's take a break there, and we'll be back for the rest of our discussion. Don't go away.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen. Allah my Lord, His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet, peace be upon him. I am a Muslim for all of time. Someday, somehow, my journey here will end. I know not when. Come
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are with Brother Abdullah. We're going to be talking about raising proper children, but we're going to be taking a look at this issue from various angles. So just before the break, we said that you have to start really early, because it's like engraving things on a stone. It becomes permanent. What they learn becomes permanent. If we start too late, it's going to become extremely difficult, and in your own words, our chances to succeed will become slim. Now, we might have already stressed our audience about this, because oh my god, we have to start immediately and we're not ready. Is this going to be something difficult for them to grasp?
I don't know how to put this, but I mean, as a parent, if you have a child that's past the age, I'm assuming that you're already suffering, right? If you have a teenager that's not listening to you, that's not following your orders, you're suffering that effect, that you missed your chances. And missing the chance, I mean, like I said, sometimes as parents from an Islamic perspective, sometimes like when we fail at upbringing our kids, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have many ahadith that says the dua of a parent is accepted when it comes to their kids. So if a father or a mother, they have a child that, let's say, he's not on the right track, if they pray for him and, you know, constantly ask Allah, provoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, Allah might guide such a child. So there's always hope. We're not saying there's no hope. There's always hope. But we're saying there will be trouble. It's not going to be easy. And sometimes the parents, they themselves, they need to go through a process of changing themselves to begin with, because the only reason they failed to raise a child from the beginning, because they lacked the information, they lacked the techniques, they lacked, you know, the skills. So they need to acquire these skills and then come back. Because most parents that I see, that when they have teenagers that, you know, they not what they want them to be, they still don't have that method of, you know, acquiring the skills. They still come and give them orders. Do this, don't do this, and then they fight with them and they argue with them, and sometimes it might even lead to hitting them and stuff like that, or outcasting them from the house. So they're still making the same mistake over and over and again. So they end up breaking the child more than mending the child. So like I said, I don't want to say it's too late, but like I said, they will definitely feel the pain. And I say in this way, they need to do two things. Mainly and first and foremost, they have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, because their dua, especially the mother's dua for her child, is accepted, so she has to turn to him. And the father as well has to turn to Allah. And they need to make some changes in their life and, you know, acquire some skills and learn how to deal with their kids. And alhamdulillah, today, with today's technology, with YouTube and everything, they can just watch clips and read books of how to, you know, bring a child. So it's not too late.
Would it be a good idea for them to approach their kids and say that, look, we seem to have not done a very good job until now, but from now on we want to try to fix things? Or do you think that will...
It works, depending on the child. Because, look, until today, I speak from experience, until today, the beginning of the month of Ramadan, every single year, my father, no matter where I am, he would call me, right? And he would say to me, son, I am very sorry. When you were a kid, I used to hit you, for example. I was bad to you, this. Please forgive me. Like, you know, say, bara'at al-dhimma.
Yeah.
He still does that. And to me, it affects me. It means a lot to me that my father is still at his old age and he's got his imama on and he's a big guy in the community. Yet he comes and he brings himself down to a level where he says, you know, to his child, forgive me, I made a mistake when I was back in my day. You know, I was young myself. I had no information, no knowledge, and I acted sometimes in a bad manner. So it makes a lot. It means a lot to the child if you bring yourself down to that level and express your feelings and how you could have been a better father or a better figure for them that you didn't. So it does affect.
All right, let's take a short break. After the break, we're going to take a quick look at what to expect in the next few episodes. Don't go away.
Ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise.
Ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're going to be talking about raising children in a proper way from various angles. And this series is specifically targeting families who have very young children. I assume 0 to 8 years old, which is when we're going to start raising our children, because what we teach them now is like engraving the teachings on a stone. It will become permanent. We always say Abdullah, who's going to be helping us on this path. I'm thrilled myself because I have a 7-month-old, and I think I got you just this program started just in time.
Perfect.
For me. So can you give us an idea of what to expect in the next episodes?
All right, so what are we trying to do here? We're trying to, like I said, because we try to make a better version of ourselves. Because how would you like to see yourself succeed in life? How would you like to see yourself being a better person? And sometimes because we missed the boat ourselves, but it's still in us that we want to see that happen. And as parents, we always try to project that into our kids. I'll give you an example. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says to Imam Hassan, he says, Bunay, araka ba'di bal araka kulli. I see you part of me, but I see all of me. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, what he's saying, I see my entire existence in you, reflects in you. Right, so he raised his child to be the reflection of him, because Amir Muni Salamullah alayhi himself is a perfection. So perfection needs to create another perfection that he can see outside him.
Yeah,
and that's Imam Hassan alayhi salam.
So that would be rich of us for us to say, to ask our child that we want you to be a reflection of us, because we are.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We want to we want them to be the better reflection of us. Not the worst of reflection. Because, for example, if I look at myself, and if you look at yourself, and we look at how we brought up, we lacked things. We lacked a lot of things. Like, for example, I speak for myself. I wish, from a young age, for example, my father would have brought me to the Hausa when I was maybe 10 or 9. I would have been an Ayatollah by the age of 20. You know what I mean? But I came to the Hausa when I'm 30. So I missed a lot. So, for example, now I would want to give my son the chance to say, son, you could go this way or you could go this way. This way is rewarding and this way is also rewarding. I want to give him that option, right? You know what I mean? And so things I lacked. For example, my father, when I was a kid, my father was busy and doing his own things. I did not get the chance, for example, to play with him and to, you know, have the normal things as a father and son do. So, for example, I don't want my son to miss on these things so he can have a better upbringing. So what we try to do is make them the best that they could be through our reflection, the best of our reflection, not
so
the worst.
So that's
of our
a very
reflection.
Good way. Wait,
so we need to filter
to
basically.
So we're trying to. We have a starting point. That's good. We have a foundation ready, which is ourselves.
Mm.
And want them to be a level better than ourselves.
Not just a level, many levels.
At
better.
Least, okay. Fine.
Many levels. Yeah, as much as we can.
And talking as a new father, it's very stressful. This whole raising of children. Are you going to be helping us with that stress?
Inshallah, we'll try our best.
Cope that stress.
Inshallah.
Thank you. So that's this program for you. Don't miss the next programs and the following programs. I think they're going to be very interesting. But that's all the time that we have for this show. If you missed it, you can always download an archive of this episode and previous ones from our website. Simply visit parsetoday.com. That's parsetoday.com. Find the Call of Islam Radio link, and you can find Islamic Upbringing with all the episodes ready for downloading right there. You can also email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. And you can find us on Instagram, Telegram, YouTube, and Twitter. Simply search at Call of Islam Radio. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life. A way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.